This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite is sponsored by Fujitsu, makers of the ultra-low latency XG2600 switch and the Summer of Speed test drive. Learn more at us.fujitsu.com/XGTestDrive.
This is HPC Wire Soundbite, your weekly source of commentary and insight on the HPC stories shaping the industry, with Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. And now, here are your hosts, Michael Feldman and Addison Snell.
More brain work, HPC style.
And an interview with NetApp Cloud Czar, Val Bercovici.
Hello, everyone, and good morning for HPC Wire Soundbite for July 8th, 2011. Available every Friday on iTunes and Stitcher. I'm Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and I'm joined by Addison Snell of Intersect 360 Research. Hey, good morning, Addison.
Good morning, Michael.
So we caught an interesting story this week about yet another brain simulation story, one I wasn't quite aware of, but it's been going on for a while, this one in the UK.
Yeah, I appreciated you reporting on that one, Michael, bringing it to our attention. I think brain research is hot right now, but give us the new news.
Well, the actual news for this one is had to do with the chips they were making for this simulation, but the larger story in there is about what they've been doing over the past few years. It's a project called Spinnaker, and it's run out of the University of Manchester in the UK, along with some other universities and partners. And they've been building this machine, sort of a custom-built machine, to do a certain type of brain simulation, basically for the purpose of neuroscience, so mapping the brain's sort of fundamental functions to understand things like brain injuries, diseases, and neurological conditions. And they've been working on this for at least 5 years, but the tack they took was to build sort of this custom machine using their own chips, and they ended up using ARM chips and building them into their own multiprocessor package. So it's been going on for a while, but they finally got the chips back this week and they're starting to test them.
So this is hitting stories on a couple of interesting levels. Just starting with the fact that we're doing more brain science. We were discussing the Blue Brain project before and the fundamental impact that's going to have. I think we're getting closer and closer to mapping the human brain, which is going to be a major step forward in neurology. But in particular, this research in the UK, where you say they're just monitoring basic brain functions, that's hugely important for the field of neuropathy and understanding these different maladies of the brain. Now, you know, one of the problems with brain research is it's hard to get volunteers to sign up for clinical studies, right? To say we're going to poke around in your brain for a little bit. So these simulations can have a huge impact.
Right, and that's the whole idea. They want to be able to run these simulations again and again on with different parameters and figure out what happens when you kill this neuron or knock out this gene or do whatever, and then run the simulation. So what they've built or what they're going to build is basically this, you know, million processor machine using these ARM chips, and each of these ARM chips that they're putting on these larger chips basically have one core, and there's like 20 on a chip. And they're going to build something big enough to basically map about 1% of the human brain. Now, you don't need a whole brain to actually check out a lot of these types of conditions, but 1% is a pretty good chunk of it. And the nice thing about it is, you know, since they're using this ARM technology, it doesn't take that much power to build this million processor machine. Is about, you know, 20, 30, 40 kilowatts of power for the whole thing, which is pretty modest by today's standards.
Yeah, well, this is the other interesting half of the story is coming back around on ARM again, which we were just discussing previously at ISC and a little bit before that as relates to some of the GPU accelerator options. And to what extent we're going to see supercomputers based on ARM. And this really could wind up being the crux of the architectural shift over the next 5 years. This is not a question of accelerators versus not accelerators. This could wind up being an x86 versus ARM discussion eventually. I don't think we're there yet, but we're seeing enough news around ARM that I think it's a topic that can't be ignored.
Oh, without a doubt. And especially for certain types of applications. I mean, obviously, the ARM ecosystem is very is very new to supercomputing. It's almost non-existent. But for something like this, where you don't need, you know, a lot of floating point power, you just need a lot of parallelism to do some sort of simple data packet transfers and high throughput type operations to simulate neurons and synapses and things like that, it's very appropriate. So, and they had this design 5 years ago before anybody was even talking about ARMs for servers or supercomputers. So they kind of saw the writing on the wall on sort of the value of this architecture for something like a brain simulation application.
Yeah, absolutely. And finally, it's nice to see Manchester with a big story. I haven't seen a big one like this out of them in a couple of years now. So we're seeing a lot of heating up in Europe and the UK in particular over the course of the last few months, huh?
Yeah, a lot of the brain stories seem to be coming out of Europe. I mean, of course, Blue Brain is out of Switzerland. They've been
Switzerland
for a while,
right.
And that's the one I think has gotten a lot of press because they've been quite vocal about the progress they've made there. And it's a different. They're not using a custom architecture there. They're using IBM BlueJean mostly as the hardware platform to run their software, which actually is not that different from what they're doing with ARM. Again, it's a low power sort of simple ASIC running below the software there to do a tremendous amount of parallelism. So, but in that case, a more not commodity certainly, but
right.
commercially available thing. It's just they've taken a different tack here.
Well, it's certainly an interesting story for science, for neurology in specific. It's an interesting story for HPC. It's an area where I've been saying for a few years that I think is going to be extremely important for simulation over this decade. And I love seeing all these steps forward in it. I think I'm going to be very excited to watch these developments.
Yeah, me too. I think this, like you said, is going to develop over the next 5 to 10 years, and I think we're going to see some very interesting simulations of brains, complete or otherwise. And
right. Well, and furthermore, when we're talking about mapping the human brain, that's not like that is the end all for brain research any more than mapping the human genome ended genomics. It actually kickstarted a whole new field of research. So getting these types of brain simulations actually advancing the field of neurology significantly. We'll take a quick sponsor break, and then when we come back, we'll be joined by a guest on HPC Wire Soundbite. We'll be talking to Val Bercovici, who's NetApp's Cloud Czar.
This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite is sponsored by Fujitsu's Summer of Speed Test Drive. This summer, Fujitsu invites you to take a test drive of our ultra-fast XG2600 switch and check the performance yourself. For a limited time, we're offering our XG2600 switch for you to try before you buy. Our confidence in its performance means you get to take the wheel and prove it to yourself on your network running your applications. To participate, visit us.fujitsu.com/XGTestDrive or call 866-618-2781.
And we're speaking now with Val Bercovici. Val, your official title is Cloud Czar at NetApp. Is that right? Thanks for joining us.
That is right, and thank you for having me. Pleasure to be on here. And as I mentioned earlier on, I kind of like to use that intro as a bit of an icebreaker. It goes over a bit more interestingly than Cloud CT.
Certainly interested us. Well, in fact, we've been interested in NetApp for some time now. As you know, Michael and I have been tracking NetApp through the LSI Ingenio acquisition, and the last time we saw NetApp specifically targeting the HPC storage market was about 5 years ago when NetApp was launching ONTAP GX, and then maybe about 3 or 4 years ago, NetApp was kind of moving away from HPC as a target market. So, with the Ingenio acquisition, how's NetApp viewing HPC today, and how is that tied to the acquisition and your role as Cloud Czar?
Yes, that's a great opening question there. There's a number of different answers or specific answers. I think most importantly, if I've been at NetApp 13 years now, started in 98, and there's quite a bit of an arc with regards to how we've evolved our technology and found good target markets for it, especially lucrative target markets, because we are, after all, a, a for-profit company.
Sure.
So at the origin of the company, most of the business we chased was out of engineering departments, and high performance was often a requirement for chip simulation in the early days, for, you know, email serving out of shared file systems back in the early days for early customers like Yahoo. So performance is really, really critical. And GX is kind of the culmination of that first phase. When we launched GX through the Spinnaker acquisition, we were targeting very, very similar markets, those verticals, you know, such as energy and government and so forth, the higher performance requirements. And what we saw clearly at the end of the last decade was a massive move within the IT departments of those same companies, separate from engineering, to really adopt, you know, more, require more flexibility in the adoption of Microsoft and Oracle and SAP technologies, and to begin to virtualize, server virtualization in particular, all those environments. And we realized we had to adapt our technology for this much greater market opportunity, which is why I think there's a perception that we stepped away from HPC. But the reality is we just, you know, really doubled down and made major investments for corporate IT and server consolidation, virtualization, and so forth. And that's kind of where we find ourselves today, is the culmination of those investments are that we see the server virtualization trend morph pretty quickly into private and hybrid and even public cloud infrastructures. And at the same time, we're seeing a massive requirement for scalability of infrastructures where the HPC angle kicks in, and that's really what motivated the Ingenio acquisition.
So Val, the Ingenio business sort of had a different culture. I mean, the LSI's business went almost entirely through OEM partners. So with the acquisition, how will those OEM relationships change now?
We've actually been pretty public about this, and we don't see a lot of change. You know, the OEM customers of ours, that's obviously how we treat them as partners, but their customers ultimately are always going to continue to make their own decisions with what's best for their business. But having said that, we've been pretty transparent and pretty clear multiple times when we announced the intention to acquire Ingenio, when we actually, you know, completed the acquisition and so forth. What we found was that these partners are very, very interested in continuing to do business with us. You know, the major OEMs, particularly IBM and Oracle and Dell and Teradata, continue to do a lot of business with us. And, you know, we're going to make sure that that revenue stream that was a huge part of the overall acquisition is protected and enhanced. At the same time, though, we certainly see certain customer opportunities and entire markets, perhaps, that are not being served by our OEM partners. And those are the ones that we will pursue through our own sales force, which includes an even heavier mix of indirect channel resellers.
Well, Val, we've been researching the HPC storage market for some time now. And one thing we've noticed, according to our surveys coming back and our discussions with vendors, is the HPC storage market doesn't seem to have a dominant leader right now. There's no player that seems to have more than about 10 or 12% market share. The question is, how big a player can NetApp be in this space? Are you going to step into a leadership role in HPC? And what's your differentiation versus other HPC storage vendors?
So that's probably my favorite topic right now, because this is really what motivated me to be one of the guys pushing for this acquisition. We see the HPC market growing substantially, and it's growing in interesting ways, I would say, in interesting directions or different directions. We obviously see continued, you know, growth in seismic analysis, genetic sequencing, various government implementations in the national labs of HPC, and, you know, exciting projects like CERN and so forth. But that is, in my mind, you know, a continuation of organic growth. Where we see explosive inorganic growth is as HPC technologies essentially go mainstream inside businesses and enterprise. And we're definitely seeing, you know, video be a huge portion of that, whether it's high-resolution video or just conventional surveillance solutions inside transportation environments, government applications, you know, eye in the sky predator, the Osama kind of stuff. That is explosive growth from a capacity and a performance and certainly a density angle that we're seeing. And the one I think that will really take it over the top is the big data trend around new structured and particularly unstructured analytics. We're seeing, you know, massive interest inside enterprise for that, a lot of machine-generated sensor data, barcode data, et cetera. And that technology has already kind of gone mainstream with the IBM examples of Watson for the Jeopardy game and so forth. people are now realizing, executives are now realizing the power of that technology. And when you look at all of those opportunities combined, you know, we see a very different HPC landscape over this coming decade, a much, much bigger one. And quite frankly, only because we see so much potential are we, you know, making such significant investments there. And we clearly aim to be, you know, if not the leader, certainly one of the leaders in this space going forward, but particularly adapting to the change and growth of the market is how we're going to accomplish that leadership.
We've been speaking with Val Bercovici, who's the cloud czar at NetApp, about NetApp's leadership role in HPC in the wake of the LSI and Genio acquisition. Val, thanks very much for joining us.
My pleasure.
We'll take another quick sponsor break, and then when we come back, we'll do an HPC Stat of the Week.
This episode of HPC Wire Soundbite has been sponsored by Fujitsu's Summer of Speed Test Drive. From now through the end of September, we're offering our XG2600 switch for you to try before you buy. Test drive one now. Visit us.fujitsu.com/XGTestDrive.
Well, that was an interesting exchange from Val.
I liked having him on.
Well, you know, what kind of struck me there was sort of how much, well, he's the cloud czar, obviously, but how much he sort of hooked in, you know, this HPC storage play into the cloud story at NetApps. Did you kind of get that impression too?
I certainly got that impression. I don't know if it's because he's the cloud czar or cloud CTO, but certainly a lot of the HPC message from Val was wrapped into the cloud. Now, he was including private cloud and hybrid cloud in that. So it
sure
could just be a definitional thing of how they're talking about an internal data infrastructure to say, here's your data storage cloud and everyone's going to hook into it. But I do wonder about that vocabulary as you're approaching HPC customers.
Right. And he also hooked in the idea of big data, which again is something that straddles HPC and enterprise. And I think
right,
you know, they're not the only storage vendors that see it that way. I think
basically, no, of course not.
All the HPC storage vendors are seeing that as sort of multiple opportunities that span across HPC and their other business. So,
but again, big data is something you got to be careful with the definition of, because it's going to mean very different things to different people. Most of the time, when we hear big data, we hear about it in the sense of a large web of unstructured data for a Hadoop-like application, for a MapReduce
right
type application. But then you go into an oil and gas customer, like you was talking about with Seismic, and big data means I've got a 14 terabyte file that I got to move.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, and I think that's a common view though among storage vendors. But he's right in saying there's a lot of diversity out there in the space, and there's a lot more opportunity now for people that have HPC technology than there ever was before. And it'll be interesting to see how NetApp and sort of the other storage competitors kind of play out with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think NetApp is in an excellent position. I think they've got a nice portfolio of technologies, and we're excited to see how they move them forward. But with respect to cloud, we did have a stat of the week that we can bring to bear on the discussion that will maybe illustrate what we're talking about with the importance of these definitional aspects. We as you know, we've done a big survey on cloud computing specifically, Michael. So I'll ask this question this way. If you just start with the people who are using or evaluating cloud technologies, this is among HPC users who are using or evaluating any kind of cloud, what percent of them think they'll run at least half of their HPC workflow in any type of cloud model, including private or hybrid clouds, by the end of 2013? So think about that for a second. I'm evaluating or using cloud now. Mm-hmm. What percent of us say that we'll have half of our HPC workflow in any type of cloud model basically a year and a half from now?
Half of their workflow.
Yeah, at least half.
At least half. Okay.
Plus or minus 5% here. Try to guess within 5%.
All right. So I'll guess 15%.
You missed low. It's actually 29%.
Oh, okay.
And if you're following all my tweets, you would have gotten that one already, Michael. I tweeted that one from ISC. Now, that's limiting the universe to people who are already using or evaluating cloud. So if you're talking about everybody, your 15% would be probably right in there. But that's showing that even among those who are looking at it, less than half of them, or even less than a third of them, are saying that they'll have half their workflow in a cloud model by 2013. So that's the sort of thing that a vendor like NetApp has to be careful with in, if they over-entrench their HPC messaging into cloud.
Right, yeah. It's easy sort of to get caught up in that and looking right. at the other space. But yeah, okay, good figure. Yeah, I wouldn't have guessed it'd be that high, but not too surprising considering – you know, we've included private clouds in there as well. So, okay.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, by the time we get to a year and a half out, who knows what that definition will look like.
Exactly. All right. Well, that should wrap up our show for this week. We'll do it all again in 7 more days and have you back here next week.
Great. Thanks a lot, Michael. I'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you.
You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite with Michael Feldman and Addison Snell. Got a question or comment for Michael or Addison? Email soundbite@hpcwire.com. HPC Wire Soundbite is available every Friday afternoon from iTunes or at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire, the leading source for global news and information covering the ecosystem of high productivity computing.